Okay. Yeah, that flash of fire is gonna burn all the terrors, burn all the terrors. As I was driving home from Central Illinois this afternoon, a song was going through my mind. Burn, tears, burn, burn, tears, burn. That's what we're gonna see, folks. We're gonna see the tears burning like a candle in the night. All right, folks. Welcome to Yahweh's Covenant People. I have Pastor Steve with me, I think. Are you there, Pastor Steve?
I sure be here, bro.
Okay. And I'm trying to get the website for Second Esdras. Greg Howard's supposed to be with us. Let me see if I can drag him in. Drag him along.
Kicking and screaming.
Yeah, right. Oh, come on. All right, as usual when all right, so Greg, and for some reason I can't drag him into our conversation. Let me try here. Let me try to drag him in. Okay.
Oh, I
His,
see his smiling
yeah,
face.
yeah. His Skype number is ringing, and if this doesn't connect, he's going to have to call us. Yeah, it didn't connect. So
Well,
I guess Greg was late for his own birth. Is that possible? Late for your own birth? So, okay. So, anyway, we're going to get back to Second Esdras after a long delay, because Greg has been sick, and so we've been doing other things,
we've
other
been
shows.
hitting some other stuff pretty hard.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, really hard. And so, what I'm going to do. Do you have any idea, Pastor Steve, where we left off on
Yes,
Second
Ezra,
Esdras?
Second Esdras 8, verse 46. That's where we're supposed to start. Ezra's final appeal for mercy.
Okay.
Harry Mack's already there. He's in the
Okay.
chat room. Tea Time Mack is there. Hello. Everybody,
Yes.
everybody's piling in here. We got a whole
Good.
big list. Got a lot of people listening into the chat. Only a couple posting because they want to hear what we have to say.
Right.
And they'll post comments, and I'll comment on that. I'm watching the chat. That's why I have the double computers.
Okay. All right. So I just brought up an apocryphal site that has Second Esdras. What, chapter 8, what verse did you say?
Verse 46.
Verse
That's where we're going to start.
46. Let me go there and see if my handy dandy computer
Handy
matches up with
dandy.
yours. Okay,
Is this
computer.
the new one or just the old
No,
one?
this is the old one. All right,
Oh.
so then he answered me and said, things present are for the present, and things to cometh for such as to become. Is that kind of close to what you have?
That's exactly
That's exactly what
what
your
it
sense.
means.
Okay.
That be it. Let me put my smiling face in front of you. Hit the camera.
Oh, okay.
There we go.
All right.
I'm not
Yeah.
all dressed in a suit and tie tonight. I'm just in
Yeah.
a
You
t-shirt.
got the red
I'm
lining.
grunging this evening. I've had a hard week, and really been hitting it,
Yeah.
ladies and gentlemen. And just the world is going crazy around us, as we see.
Well,
It's doing the same thing in
Professor
my life.
Truth, yeah, had to cancel because they got a nor'easter and a knockdown, had 80-mile-an-hour winds in
The
Maryland.
Northeast is buried. I
Yeah.
saw that. I was at the bank, and they have a huge TV, and they were showing the weather on the TV, and it was
Wow.
horrific.
Well, Greg said he had 15 inches of snow in Upper New York, so maybe his internet is out too. I talked to him by phone, his phone service is working. But I see he's just come online, so I'll have to
there he is. Okay.
Send him a message.
Now okay. Call him.
Yeah. No, I can't call him. He's going to have to call me.
Because
if it fails the first time, it never works the second time. So
you need a bigger hammer, Eli.
Yeah, right.
Submit! Submit!
Right.
Bang, bang, bang. Yeah. When are you going to get your new machine online, man?
I've been trying it. Just it doesn't interface well with the program I need to get our shows on YouTube. Doesn't interface well at all.
Well, YouTube is going by the wayside, bro.
Maybe. Hopefully, you know, we don't want to lose all that stuff like we did on TalkShoe.
Well, and archive the doggone stuff. That's why I don't put anything of mine on YouTube. Yeah. If you need a place to store stuff, I've got all kinds of room on my website. Or in this mega computer, I've got two terabyte computers. If you need archive room, I've got it, and we can put it. I'll put it back up whenever we get a channel. So,
quit bragging.
Don't. Well, Yahweh's blessed me with this for a reason, because we're doing the work.
Yeah, well,
we're doing the work. This is not me that's doing this. This is Yahweh doing it because he wants to equip his soldiers with the weapons that they need.
Okay. Entertain the folks. That may be Greg calling in on my
phone. Entertain
the folks. Oh, I'll be right back.
Oh, wish I'm living in the land of cotton. Things up north are cold and rotten. Look away. Never mind.
Okay. You're driving them away. Don't drive the audience away.
I'm going insane here.
All right, so
we
I left
the
message.
We have too much fun, folks. We have too much fun. This is like old home week when we get together.
Yeah. So, anyway. Okay, I'm not receiving Greg. He should call us. That way I'll get him in. All right, so until he calls, we can't bring him in. All right, so let's go to 2 Esdras.
Well, ready to read, brother.
Yeah, go ahead. And then, when he calls in, I'll bring him in.
Being an old duffer, I have nothing to do but get prepared for the shows. This is verse 46 of chapter 8 of 2 Esdras. He answered me and said, things that are present are for those who live now, and things that are future are for those who will live hereafter. Verse 47. There's Greg's face. Yes.
Okay, I think we're connected,
brothers. You come far short of being able to love my creation more than I love it. But you have often compared yourself to the unrighteous. Never do so.
We shouldn't compare ourselves to Negroes? Is that what you're saying?
No, we are not to compare ourselves even to other white Caucasian Israelites that have gone over to the dark side.
That's right. Very good.
So many have cucked out and are living in this world and of it, and they worship stuff. But we are not stuff worshipers.
Okay,
hello,
let me catch
Greg. How are you tonight?
We're in 2 Esdras, chapter 8.
Sorry I was late. I had a computer thing. We had like 2.5 feet of snow up here today, and it's got everything squirrely.
Professor Truth, his computer is down. So we didn't do a video tonight with him. Because of that, you guys are hammered up there.
Where are you, brothers, in 2 Esdras?
I just finished 46. I'm in 47. Now here's verse 48. Let me get this. But even in this respect, you will be praiseworthy before the Most High. Verse 49. Because you have humbled yourself, as is becoming for you, and have not considered yourself to be among the righteous, you will receive the greatest glory.
Okay. So we have to be humble.
Stop here. Those who would be first will be last.
That's right.
And those who are last will be first.
You do not elevate yourself. You let Yahweh do that.
The same way with these computers. These are Yahweh's computers for Yahweh's work. I'm not going on frivolous sites and using any of these.
Yeah, you get a virus if you do that.
I have a huge biblical library online right in front of me on two computers. And I can communicate with the congregation that's scattered abroad on the other computer in the chat room, which is exactly what we're doing. We watch the chat for comments because we have a lot of very well-educated Christian identity brothers and sisters out there that post stuff in there that are pertinent to what we are doing, and they are part of the show in reality, and that is as it should be.
Yeah.
Their input is much appreciated.
Amen.
Brother, I got to say a couple of things here. First of all, it's good to be with you two brothers.
Likewise, brothers.
Secondly, every time I see Brother Steve, he looks better than the week before.
Good.
Brother, I don't know what you got going on, but you got a second little second wind here.
My blood pressure is perfect.
You look amazing, man.
My weight is down. I've dropped another 5 pounds.
How old are you? You're 70.
I'm 71.
You think you could whip a guy in his early 60s?
not until my chest heals.
Yeah,
brother,
right.
I don't even want to mess with you. I'm intimidated. But I don't think we'd ever fight. I'm pretty sure we'd probably get along.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I got to say, I got a couple comments on these verses that we're in right now. Have you brothers noticed the amazing movement of Jewry in the last number of years to inflict white guilt upon us for just being white? Like, you're committing some kind of sin in this current age if somehow you have white skin.
Concerted brainwashing effort.
Oh, yeah, it's
that
insane.
A lot of our brothers and sisters have succumbed to this. They got to them.
Of course they have, because the most evil, sophisticated, demented, satanic beings that have ever lived are foisting this upon the most divine yet most naive people that have ever walked this planet. And that's unfortunate about us. Fortunately, those of us in Christian identity have cast off the naivete, and we are ready for war. And we are, our swords are sharpened.
Well, we are the watchmen on the wall, brother. Yeah. That's what we're due.
Brother, do you suffer from white guilt?
No.
All right, I'm glad to hear that. Eli, you don't need to answer. I know you don't.
And I'll just
speak for myself.
You got to shovel 2 feet of snow. That's your white privilege.
I have never been guilty for 1 second in my life that I was born a white man. In fact, pretty much every day I wake up and I look in the mirror and I go, Yahweh, thank you that I have white skin, because it shows me I am born of the divine race. This was the conversation between Nicodemus and Yahshua Christ in John chapter 3, and it's translated so weird-ass that we can't even understand what they were talking. Somehow, these verses have been twisted to where every two-legged creature on the planet can accept salvation, when in reality, those verses are talking about the most exclusive covenant that's ever been between Yahweh and the white race.
The cemetery schools got a hold of the scripture.
Yeah, it's
retranslated. Well, that's why
For God so loved the world. That means every Negro in Africa.
Well, that's not what it says.
Got to send your son and daughter over there and
save
those savages.
For Yahweh so loved his order of arrangement. That's what that word means, not world. Order of arrangement.
I like it.
Yeah, and that means blacks are separate from whites.
Steve, break down John 3:16 for the most misunderstood verse in the entire Bible.
Well, let's get back into it. We're going off on a tangent here.
I know.
We're never going to get to this.
All right, I actually had a point I was trying to make here.
Yeah.
And we were in verse 45 of John, or 2 Ezra chapter 8. Know, O Yahweh, who art over us, but spare thy people and have mercy on thy inheritance, For thou hast mercy on thine own creation. Mm-hmm. He's only talking about people here.
He's addressing Israel. Yes.
Yes.
He's speaking to Israel.
He's addressing the race that he planted on this earth. And all we are surrounded by our enemies. And their level of hatred varies depending on who they are. If it's the Jews, if they could push a button and exterminate us, they would. And that is actually their plan. We're seeing it unfold. The other races are, you know, have varying degrees of hatred against us. But we do not have a single ally on this earth.
That's why the ones that want to kill all the whites in South Africa could kill all the white farmers.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think all the white farmers should emigrate someplace else.
Right.
And then let them starve. Let them raise their own food.
That's what happened to Zimbabwe.
Well,
I give one other alternative. Either your choice or they arm themselves to the teeth, upon their white brethren from around the world to come and join us, and we finally say enough is enough, and, well, I'm not even going to go into it, but it's either A or B. There is no other choice.
Well, they're going to have to make a choice soon because it's coming down there. I think it may very well start down there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, Negroes, we saw how well the Negroes did in Zimbabwe when they took over the farms. I mean, you know.
They tore out all the copper.
The Negroes have no concept of how it is to work the land and actually work and get your ass out of bed and, you know, work a 12-hour day and cultivate the land, and the land will yield food to you. They just think, why do you owe me food, man? You know, we was kings.
Well, now,
why do you owe us
food? They are a race of hunter-gatherers.
I wouldn't
they
even
They are get not them. An agricultural society. They are not us. And people keep trying to make them us.
I know, brother.
And
they do.
That can never happen.
Mm-hmm.
But we can soliloquy on this later. Let's get into Ezra. We keep getting off track.
Let me jump back into verse 45 and we'll get back in.
45
is pleading to Yahweh, spare thy people and have mercy on thy inheritance. You know, this verse spits in the face of the Judeo-Christian concept of a universal salvation here.
Mm-hmm.
Ezra is narrowing Yahweh's inheritance down to a particular group of people.
Yeah, Israel.
He's clearly not including every two-legged creature on the planet, as the Judeo-Christians have been deceived into believing. There was a particular group of people that were Yahweh's inheritance, and the others were excluded. And personally, I have no problem whatsoever with that. I'm just thankful that I happen to have been born into the group that was singled out for Yahweh's inheritance. And not because of what a righteous individual I am, but I look in the mirror and I go, you know, I'm pretty white. If I go out in the sun, I got to put on sunscreen. If I say something wrong, my face blushes. I have blue eyes. I'm a white man. I have white skin. I'm a child of the eternal creator of this universe, Yahweh. I'm one of his inherited children. And Yahweh marked out our people generations ago. We are his inheritance on the planet. And we are being attacked from every possible angle right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredible, the attack we're under right now.
This touches on that. The last part of verse 49, you will receive the greatest glory, and then it goes right into verse 50. Listen to this, folks. For many miseries will affect those who inhabit the world in the last times.
Tell me about it.
Because they have walked in great pride.
Liptards.
We have been so self-assured as a people, we thought it would never end. We didn't think this time of trouble, which was prophesied, would come on us. We've been living on borrowed time. Well, the time has ended. The time has ended. before that, and now we're in Jacob's trouble, and you can see all the things that are going on. All right, verse 51. But think of your own case and inquire concerning the glory of those who are like yourself. The true chosen ones, the remnant, okay? Mm-hmm. Because it, verse 52, because it is for you, speaking to those of the remnant, that paradise is opened. The tree of life is planted. The age to come is prepared. Plenty is provided, a city is built, rest is appointed, goodness is established, and wisdom perfected beforehand.
Underline that verse.
Great job.
I have it highlighted already. Yeah,
so
this is what's coming for us, the faithful.
Uh-huh. Amen.
Now, though fence sitters that are lukewarm will be spewed out, they are excluding themselves from this promise, another promise from Yahweh, which will be fulfilled as all his other promises have been fulfilled. He's
right.
Never lied to us.
Well, how poor is it that neither the Judeo-Christians nor the white nationalists have any kind of promise like this? Okay.
Well, brother, this is the weakness to me. This is why if someone says, Greg, are you a white nationalist? I go, no.
No.
Are you a Nazi? Are you a Nazi?
Yes.
I go,
oh, sorry, no.
I go, these people are part of my race, and I love them, and I pray for them. But I feel that the beliefs that we have in Christian identity are so far beyond what is out there for the white nationalists. Mm-hmm. They're feeding on little table scraps. And this is the...
Matzo
this is
ball.
The eternal wedding feast laid out before us here that
yes.
we see.
Yeah.
And
what
this
a
is spectacular.
Wow.
This is a spectacular revelation that Ezra's. Keep in mind, this was written thousands of years ago, and it's amazingly perfect for our moment in time. Let me jump in and read verse 53 here.
Oh, yeah.
The root of evil is sealed up from you. Illness is banished from you. Death is hidden. Hell hath fled. And corruption has been forgotten. Sorrows have passed away.
Oh, okay.
And in the end, the treasure of immortality is made manifest.
Isn't it interesting?
Brother,
isn't it
interesting? He's breaking down eternity for us. He's breaking it down for us here.
Yeah. Greg and I were talking about this before the show today. Yahweh has the ability to pretend. Okay? People might think that's blasphemy. Yahweh doesn't pretend. Well, he pretends that not to see our sins. Okay? He pretends
not to see them. Eli, let me ask you a question, brother.
Yeah.
I'd like you to expound on this phrase, the root of evil is sealed up from you. How would you break that down? What does that mean? The root of evil.
That would be the Obadiah end of Edom.
Right. It can't touch us anymore. Evil will no longer touch us.
Here's my thoughts. To me, evil, when you talk about evil, I don't view evil anymore as anything other than the evil seed line of the satanic race on the planet. There are evil acts.
There are deeds,
but I view evil as a seed line, not acts of evil. You know, acts of evil are done
that's
by
where
the
it all
evil
comes
seed
from.
Line.
Yeah.
But I view it as the seed line of evil is sealed up from you. The root, what root describes, you know, the foundational living of a plant, of a tree, a seed line. To me, the root of evil is nothing more than the seed line of Cain having lived out.
Isn't it juxtaposed here against the tree of life?
Yes, exactly.
Right. Yeah.
Every verse in this amazing book just confirms to me two seed line Christian identity. That's why these books have been preserved for us in these last days.
Let me get verse 55 on. I need to read this. Now, you pay attention out there, you Judeo-Christians. Listen to this. Whether you like it or not, I don't care. Verse 55, therefore, do not ask any more questions about the great number of those that perish.
Praise Yahweh. Amen.
Verse 56, for when they had the opportunity to choose, they despised the Most High and were contemptuous of His law and abandoned His ways. Verse 57, moreover, they have even trampled on His righteous ones.
Amen. Praise
verse
you, Yahweh.
58, and said in their hearts that there is no God, though they knew well that they must die. Put that in your pipe and smoke it, sports fans.
Right.
I believe the perfect cross-reference here, I want to say it's Matthew 22. I want to say it's verse 13. I'm not exactly sure. But where Yahshua Christ said, for many are called, but few are chosen. And Eli and I figured out years ago that that verse was basically spoken in terms of strictly to the white race, saying essentially this: everyone born into the white race is called unto salvation. Many are called, but few are chosen. So even though many, many, many people are born into the pure-blooded white race, at the end of the day, it's a relatively small handful that are chosen for eternal salvation. And I think that's what these verses are saying here. Our own people are mostly traitors, and our own people will turn against us.
He chooses those that have chosen Him.
Right. That's Psalm correct. 53:1, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they, and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. All right, so those who have abandoned Yahweh are no longer capable of doing good.
And who else could that verse be talking about, even that word?
Yeah.
But
our people.
White men and white women. I mean,
of Billy Graham.
The other races are not born into salvation. Mm-hmm. They're not born from above.
No. They are of this earth. They have an animal spirit, like a dog or a cat or a horse or a cow. Oh, that's harsh. Well, yeah.
I don't find it harsh at all, brother.
Yahweh's law, and if you can't deal with Yahweh's laws, I'm sorry. Take your ball and go home. I'm not here to sugarcoat stuff. My sermons are never sugarcoated.
You know,
wishy-washy or lukewarm. Have you ever heard a lukewarm sermon from me, Eli?
No.
Nor have I, brother.
Okay. Well.
Then don't you dare do one either.
I won't.
Well, how about in the middle of this revelation, Yahweh is rebuking Ezra. Ezra's heart was actually huge. He is greatly burdened for the white people around him who he sees just living in sin and deception and rejection of Yahweh, not unlike whatsoever what we have with us today. Ezra would be freaking out if he lived today. He would be out of his mind. He wouldn't be able to survive if you jumped him into this world.
Yeah.
But Yahweh goes, do not ask any more questions about the multitude of those who perish. He could only be talking about white people here.
Sure. Yeah.
It says the ones that reject me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No one else is even in the equation.
Most high.
Says, were they also received freedom? Many are called. They also received freedom, but they despised the Most High. Just like the vast majority of white people today, they have despised Yahweh and His laws and His truth and His singularity of salvation to a particular group of people. And you preach the message of Christian identity to your average white, quote-unquote, the most misused word on the planet, Christian, They will look at you screaming. Like you should be put, you should be put in jail as a Nazi bigot, hater, racist, white supremacist, because you don't think everybody can be saved. Jesus died to save them all.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't want to hear that.
Well, that's what happened to Leroy. Well, that's what happened to Leroy.
Brother Abear says Pastor Steve should do it sugar-coated WUC. Well, I this last WUC that I did,
you could do one for fun.
Love, 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 love.
Brothers, verse 56 love might be one death. Of the greatest verses ever about our race. For they also received freedom, but they despised the Most High and were contemptuous of his law and forsook his ways. Brothers, I don't know why I had to be dragged through the dregs of Judeo-Christianity to the point where I was a Baptist preacher and had a degree in the quote-unquote Bible and was doing my thing and thinking, why do I hate it here? What in the hell is wrong with me?
Oh, here's verse 59. For just as the things that I have predicted await you, so the thirst and torment that are prepared await them. For the Most High did not intend that anyone should be destroyed. Verse 60, but those who were created have themselves defiled the name of him who made them, and Amen. Have been ungrateful to him who prepared life for them now. Yeah. Verse 61. Therefore, my judgment is now drawing near. 62. I have not shown this to all people, but only to you and a few like you.
The remnant.
Praise Yahweh.
Well,
then answered
we're
I.
We're showing it to you. We're bringing this.
Right.
Checking Esdras to people's attention, because the time for this book to be promoted and the knowledge in it.
Amen.
Now.
Right now.
Now is
the hidden
time.
Book.
These are the days, and this is the message that our people desperately need to hear.
Let me continue to read. Then I answered and said, behold, O Yahweh, thou hast now shown me a multitude of the signs which thou wilt do in the last times, but thou hast not shown me when thou wilt do them.
Oh, okay. That's chapter 9.
Chapter,
I think we're right there.
Chapter 8. We're at chapter 9.
Oh, okay. Right.
Yeah,
we just finished.
That's the last verse of chapter 8 in the translation that I have. Yeah. I think Steve is on the same one I'm on.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Chapter 9, verse 1. Take it.
He answered me and said, measure carefully in your mind. And when you see that a certain part of the predicted signs are past, then you will know that it is the very time when the Most High is about to visit the world, which he has made. You know, brother, I got to say something right here. I don't even know what to say other than Yahweh is going to bring this whole thing to the most climactic close ending that we can possibly imagine. And it hasn't happened yet. This book was written thousands of years ago. Eli got my notes. We figured this book was written approximately 450 BC,
right?
Given on the chronology of contemporary with Jeremiah, and we estimated around 450 BC. I don't know, Steve, if you're on board with that approximate date. It is an approximate date.
Oh, man.
But
I'm reading.
But that's close. That's because Ezra.
2,500 years. 2,500 years ago.
A few hundred years BC. So we're talking 2,400 years ago, this book was written. And it's like it was written today. Is that appropriate? That to me is the sign of divine revelation.
Well, okay, there's two New Testament prophecies that speak to this directly. Number one, Yahshua said in Matthew chapter 24, it shall be as in the days of Noah. Mm-hmm. We're seeing all that kind of degeneracy that was extant in Noah's time, including race mixing. Okay. And 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where Paul says, just before the second coming, Christianity will have a great falling away.
And Enoch, remember Enoch prophesied that in the days before the return of the Messiah, the world would be known as an apostate world.
Yes.
Well, he was very clear.
The great falling away is from those that give lip service to the word.
Yes.
But when it gets a little tough, when it gets a little inconvenient, they back off.
When the going gets tough, the Judeans start running.
They'll put it aside.
Let me read verse 3, because I'm really going to hammer on this one.
Preach it, brother.
Verse 3. So when there shall appear in the world, pay attention, folks, earthquakes.
No.
Tumult of peoples.
Oh, yeah.
That's everywhere.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Intrigues of nations.
Oh, forget man. About it. Intrigues of nations.
The UN. New World
wavering,
Order.
Wavering of leaders.
Oh, yeah.
Confusion of princes.
Verse Don't we have four. A British prince about to marry a Negro girl? I mean, does that qualify as
well, confusion of princes? We've got a Jewish British prince about to marry a high yellow. Verse 4. Then you will know that it was of these that the Most High spoke from the days that were of old, from the beginning. Verse 5. For just as with everything that has occurred in the world, the beginning is evident and the end manifest. Verse 6, so also are the times of the Most High. The beginnings are manifest in wonders and mighty works, and the end in penalties and in signs.
And
deal
signs are,
with it.
The signs are deal. Pretty evident. They're pretty evident, folks. This we've never had this level of degeneracy on a planet-wide. Yeah, yes. Rome was
Brother,
that
it's unbelievable right now. Yes. What goes on? I can't even watch the news anymore. Every day it's more perverse, more degenerate. I mean, it's this world hates Yahweh, and apart from the elect on the earth, this entire planet hates the Creator Yahweh. They hate him.
And
they hate the truth.
Too,
they hate the law. They hate us. They're trying
to.
They want to exterminate us. You know.
His name. We're hated because of his name. Woe unto them. That's all I can say. Woe unto them.
Talmud vision and perversion everywhere. It's just I can't even watch it anymore. I can't read their newspapers.
I don't have one.
I know you don't have a TV. Yeah.
Brothers, how profound are these verses? Verse 5, for just as with everything that has occurred in the world, the beginning is evident and the end manifest, so also are the times of the Most High. Yeah. The beginnings are manifest in wonders and mighty works, mm-hmm. and in the end, in requital and in signs. That's the point where we're at right now. We're in this awkward, complicated, sinful, bizarre age. Yet we're surrounded by signs of the end.
Yep.
You know, and those of us that see Yahweh and love Yahweh and have racial understanding and understand what Christianity really is, it's not just faith, but it's being born into the right race. You know, brothers, I could do 1,000 shows on the word Christianity and the deception that has been woven around that concept. And yet, to me, it's quite simple. you have a pure-blooded white man or a white woman, and they reach out in faith and believe in Yahweh through his son, Yahshua Christ. I really think it's that simple. I really do. Yeah, it can get more complicated than that. But the racial concept of Christianity is basically been spit upon by the Judeo-Christian world. It's been ruined. And the Jews have had their fingers in it forever, tricking our people into missionary nonsense and universal salvation, and Negroes can be saved, and a thousand other, you know, rabbit trails that they have our people chasing. And when you really see it clearly, you understand. True Christianity is only for a pure-blooded white person, and they have to reach out by faith and believe into Yahweh through his son, Yahshua Christ. I mean, am I naive? Is it any more complicated than that?
Well, this verse 7 here begins a message of hope for our people. Listen to this.
We need it, bro. Break it down.
All you Christian identists. Verse 7 and 8 and 9. It shall be that all who will be saved and will be able to escape on account of their works, that's how they live their life,
right,
or on account of the faith by which they have believed, which helps them to live their life in that manner.
Yes.
Verse 8, will survive the dangers that have been predicted and will see my salvation in the land and within my borders, which I have sanctified for myself from the beginning.
Amen.
Verse 9. He's talking to us, brothers and sisters.
That's right.
Then those who have now abused my ways, the enemies, shall be amazed, and those who have rejected them with contempt shall live in torments.
The social justice warriors that preach against being white. And
aren't they in torment? Just look at them. They're already in torment.
They got a foot in hell already.
Yeah.
Verse 10, for as many as did not acknowledge me in their lifetime, though they received my benefits. Verse 11, and as many as scorned my law while they still had freedom and did not understand but despised it,
right,
while an opportunity of repentance was still open to them. Verse 12, these much must in torment acknowledge it after death.
Ooh. Praise you, Yahweh. This truth
is there's more pain even after death.
Oh no.
Deal with that.
Yeah, deal with it.
This truth is amazing. Incredible truth that we're looking at right here.
Let me do verse 13.
Yeah.
Therefore, now this is speaking to us. Therefore, do not continue to be curious about how the ungodly will be punished, but inquire how the righteous will be saved, those to whom the age belongs.
Amen.
And for whose sake the age was
Amen.
Made.
The age of Jacob.
Amen.
The age of Jacob.
People that reject, make your own bed, then you have to lie.
That's right.
I mean, we preach on, and we tell them. We tell them and tell them and tell them. We got a whole lineup of people on EFR that tell them. What they do with it is on them. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink.
How incredible is the revelation of 2 Ezra?
You reject it, it's on you, not on me. I've been giving you the word, and once you hear the word, you can't unhear it. And if you turn aside from it and you harden your heart, you will sear your spirit, and you will not be able to come under the grace that is offered. If you turn away often enough, tells you that in the New Testament, you will sear your own spirit, then there's no hope for you.
Let me jump into verse 15. I said before, and I say now, and will say it again, there are more who perish than those who will be saved. Boy, no way.
What an 10,000 to 1 is. 10,000 to 1? Am I being generous?
Brother, I don't know the ratio, but 1,000 to 1 seems generous to me. When I look at the average person that identifies as a Christian, I go, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Whatever.
Yeah, welcome to, what do they call it? Chrislam. There you go, Chrislam. They're more concerned about saving Islam than they are about themselves. It's just incredible.
Well, a lot of these verses show us the heart of Ezra. Ezra was a Levitical priest, and he had an amazing heart for his people. And he had trouble dealing with the fact that many of them were spitting in the face of Yahweh and rejecting Yahweh. No doubt they were race mixing and doing all the sins that our people are involved in today. And it continually broke his heart. And Yahweh was continually reminding him, don't worry about those that are going to be cast aside. Put your burden on those that are going to be saved.
And it's in the New Testament, Greg, that there's a verse that says Yahshua told the apostles to go out and knock on the people's door. And if they refuse to hear what you have to say, turn around, wipe dust off your feet, and proceed to the next person.
Yeah.
Okay? You're not to bother yourself about the reprobates. There's really nothing you can do. If they refuse to hear you, then that's their decision, not yours. It's on their heads.
You know, I'm in
yours.
No way saying that I have the heart of Ezra. I don't. But once in a while, I'll see a situation. And actually had one today. I was at the mall with my grandson. They got this nice little play area where I take them, where all the kids can play together. And I saw this young white girl walking down the mall with this Negro. And I just looked at her and I just felt...
You tore your raiment.
I prayed for her. And normally when I see them,
yeah,
I almost want to pray judgment upon them. But I prayed for this white girl. Maybe it was just starting. Maybe it was her first time out with him. I don't know. I felt to pray for her, to save her mm-hmm. from that situation of going down that Jewish deception right. where it was okay for her to go out with a Negro and where that would end and basically end with her destruction, her death, her murder.
No doubt.
Her eternal demise. And I felt to pray for her, and I did. And I don't know why. Because it doesn't happen much. I usually see them and I go, Yahweh, bring judgment on them. But this girl I prayed for, and our people, and especially our young people, and in particular our young women, are under such a satanic attack that I generally don't have a judgmental view of it as much as I have a view to try to save them. Although if they're pushing a baby carriage with a couple of orange-haired niglets in there, I don't pray. I realize
it's done.
This one's over. It's over. Yeah. This one has crossed the line.
Unforgivable sin.
Exactly. This one has crossed the line. But this one today, I had a strong sense to pray, and I did. And I just prayed, Yahweh, save this young white girl. She looked 18, 19. Walking with a Negro, and I just thought, Yahweh, open her eyes, save her. That it was a 10-20 second prayer. I don't know, but our people, brother, are under such an attack, and I hate the fact that they target our women. That drives me crazy, and it's gone on from the Garden of Eden.
You ever look at theirs? No wonder they're targeting ours.
Well, brother, deep down,
yeah.
I gotta say, I don't blame any Negro for going with a white woman. Who would blame, if you look at their women, I think, I don't blame you. I blame our women, but yet I realize our women are not to be blamed because they're so naive, they're so innocent, they're easy to be tricked. They've been brainwashed from the time
they've been lied to over the years, yes.
I cannot bring myself to judge them. even if they're going to be judged, I cannot be the judge of them. Because I know what they have been subjected to. Our white women are pure and naive and are born divine, yet they are, apart from the direction of a white man leading them, they are a blank slate. It's what makes them so incredible when you find the right one.
Mm-hmm.
Let me read the end, verse 16 through 25. Because this is so pertinent, we need to get to this. Now, 15, there are more who perish than who will be saved. And verse 16 says, as a wave is greater than a drop of water. That's the ratio.
Ooh. Okay? Ooh.
That's rough.
Yeah, that's rough.
Verse 17.
Yeah, that's a big ratio.
This is going to get into another blockbuster here. Just hang tight, hold on to your drillies. He answered me and said, as is the field, so is the seed. And as are the flowers, so are the colors. And as is the work, so is the product. And as is the farmer, so is the threshing floor. Verse 18. For there was a time in this age when I was preparing for those who now exist, before the world was made for them to live in. And no one opposed me then, for no one existed.
Wow.
Verse 19. But now those who have been created in this world, which is supplied both with an unfailing table and an inexhaustible pasture, have become corrupt in their ways.
Yo.
Verse 20. So I considered my world and saw that it was lost. I saw that my earth was in peril because of the devices of those who had come into it. Pollution, perversion, destruction of the environment. Okay.
Brother, I have a note here that he's referencing fallen angels in this verse.
Verse 21. And I saw and spared some with great difficulty. Now listen to this, folks, and save for myself one grape out of a cluster and one plant out of a great forest.
Amen.
Verse 22. So let the multitude perish that has been born in vain.
Amen.
But let my grape and my plant be saved. Because with much labor, I have perfected them.
Oh, praise Yahweh. What spectacular racial enlightenment verses right here. We could do a series of shows on those handful of verses.
Well, I don't feel perfect.
verse 20.
I don't feel perfect, so I'm in trouble.
There you go.
I'm trying. Go ahead.
Verse 23, now if you will let 7 days more pass, do not, however, fast during them. Verse 24, but go into a field of flowers where no house has been built, and eat only of the flowers of the field, and taste no meat and drink no wine, but eat only flowers, and pray to the Most High continually, then I will come and talk with you. And that's a good stopping point for this week.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
you know, people used to eat flowers. People used to eat flowers. I don't know why that has discontinued.
Depends on what flowers you're eating.
Yeah.
Ezra must have liked wine because Yahweh said, "Don't drink any wine." So Ezra clearly liked a little wine now and then.
Right. Bud there,
right?
This bud's for you.
Right.
That's the old hippie days. I'm sorry. Right. I was there, folks. Been there, done that, and I don't do that no more.
Yeah. But why is it that people don't eat the flowers? You know, when you eat a salad, they'll cut the flowers off and then eat the rest of it, but they won't eat the flowers. But people used to eat the flowers along with their salad.
Yeah.
I don't know why that has discontinued. You know, like your dandelion.
Five, we're about 5 minutes out. The next section that we're going to do on the next show is the abiding glory of the Mosaic Law.
Okay.
We're going to get into that, and that will finish out a great deal of chapter 9. Mm-hmm. And then the last part of chapter 9 is the vision of a weeping woman. So we'll probably do that next
right.
week.
Yeah.
We have seen all the mayhem that is right. Occurring. Okay, false right. flags are not false flags. What's going that's... on in South Africa is not a false flag.
Yes. No, that's real. The white
and
people
I
are being
saw
killed.
I saw the video of the man that says, we are not leaving, we are not giving up, we are going to fight.
Okay.
And the interviewer said, well, and he says, watch us.
Mm-hmm.
You watch us.
Okay.
What we do. Now, if they are in righteousness, and he was
yes.
blasted about a Christian nation, and he said, if we stand up for God and we fight, well, he's going to be one of the ones where 10,000 flees before him.
Right.
But if they get a stiff resistance, those Katsahundas over there don't have a chance.
That's right.
If those white boys come out in number and they start mowing them down, they're going to clean house.
Yeah, that's...
Yahweh will be with them.
Amen. And
no one can stand against our people when we're
no
awakened.
No one can
yeah.
stand.
No one.
No weapon yeah. can prevail against us.
It'll be
no
blood one. River all over again.
We just have to have the courage to stand.
Yeah.
Quit talking about faith in Yahweh and live it.
Amen, brother.
The odds lip against the Boer were 60 to 1.
Lip service, and we need to stop doing the lip service.
Right.
I mean, if you have good leaders and you refuse to follow them, that's on you.
Right.
I mean, I've been in this situation before with a militia. We could have made a difference back then, but they wouldn't do it. Mm-hmm. Oh, no. And they didn't like me because I preached Christian identity on my radio station.
Right. You shouldn't have done that.
The Judeo-Christians in Eastern Kentucky wanted to lynch me.
Yeah, right.
They kicked me out of the militia over
out of the
my
militia.
Radio station.
Wow.
And another militia, which is a Christian identity militia in the western part of Kentucky, picked me up. And I became a member of that militia, and they supported... financially, the radio station.
Very good.
And I was preaching back in the 90s what we're preaching now, Christian identity. And I had all the shows on. I mean, I had everybody on. And all the Patriot shows and all the rest of it. And the white people just wouldn't stand.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
right.
We
well, afraid.
We have a lot more now that will stand.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, mainly because they don't have much left to lose.
Well,
a lot of our people have lost everything.
The namby-pamby wishy-washies are being weeded out.
Right.
We've got about a minute here.
Right.
I will say, Yahweh bless and keep you. And Yahweh bless all of you.
And also your prayers for Arthur Jones. Arthur Jones is really being attacked mercilessly by both the Republicans and the Democrats, and because you know, he's going to stand up for the white race. This is going to be a fascinating race here in Illinois. All right, folks, thank you, Pastor Howard, Pastor Steve. Thanks for listening, everybody. This has been Yahweh's Covenant People for March 2nd, 2018. Thanks for listening, and here's the music.
Praise Yahweh, brothers and sisters. Praise. Amen.